That was a great song. It's an exciting day for me. I always enjoy it. I keep telling you, Sunday's an awesome day. I'm here. Nice brisk walk down here to get here. It's just beautiful. I get to be in church, and I just love being here. I love meeting and seeing you guys and just having a great time this morning. And it's really getting exciting because anybody know what happens next week? Anybody got an idea what's going on next week? We start our 40-day journey. We start our 40 days spiritual growth campaign. But I got news for you. It's not 40 days this year. It is 2 days. I'm going to add 2 days to it. Rick Warren, if you remember right, took that purpose-driven book, that number one selling book that really made an impact in people's lives, and added 2 chapters. And so I'm excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it. And we're going to spend some time in this study. I mean, we're going to be asking you to get in some video lessons. We're going to have 6 video lessons to be a part of, get you in a small group to have some discussion time, get you to come to church, and we're going to have some messages. I'm going to have like 6 special messages on that same topic. And we're going to get you to memorize some scripture. Anybody here like to memorize? Boy, I see all those hands going up. And we're going to memorize some scripture, you know, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do a lot of good things as we go through the lesson. And the challenge is going to be even to start practicing what we're talking about. And so we're going to be into all of that. And I just want to encourage you. And I'm excited because you know what? You need to know, I've had rumors and there are stories that we might have a Bible study group in Mexico. Can you guys believe that? That one of us that attend our church might take our material to Mexico and do a Bible study in Mexico. So I'm kind of excited about that and seeing what God would want to do. We're going to maybe trying to get a Spanish class going. And had a gentleman this morning walk into the church. He spoke no English. He had 2 little children with him and had a chance to try to communicate with him with my limited Spanish. You know, poquito, see, just a little bit. And had some good times with that. So I'm kind of excited. I really am. It's getting really close, and it's going to be fun. Yeah, but today I kind of want to talk, let's get ready for the rest of our lives. What are we going to do to get ready? What can you do now so that you're ready for what's going on and what's going to happen? And I'm going to begin with this. If I was to ask you this question, if you could ask God for one thing, and God would say, I'll give you one thing, whatever you ask, what would you ask him for? Think about that. If God was to ask you, I'll give you one thing. Just name one thing, and I will gladly bless that in your life. Now, if you're like me, that's an easy question. You know, let's see. Right off the top of my head, $1 million sounds good to me. All right. I mean, come on. Now, you got to be honest. I mean, you know, maybe a Prius. I wouldn't mind a Prius. I'm happy with my house. I don't need a bigger home. My kids are all gone now. Maybe a smaller home, easier to take care of. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about there. You know, as we think about that, what would they be that one thing? You know, if I'm honest with myself, I think it might be easy, but it's really a hard question. You know, because it's like, wait a minute. I like that movie. Anybody watch the movie called Aladdin? Anybody? Remember he got those 3 wishes, you know, and he's wrestling with which one of those wishes is he going to take, and, you know, being real careful because you only get 3. You know, well, I'm only giving you 1. Well, what's interesting is God gave a guy in the Bible 1. Some of you know the story. Anybody know the guy's name? His name is Solomon. All right, you guys are ahead of me already. And God gave Solomon that chance, and God gave Solomon. Here's what he says to Solomon. One night he came to Solomon, and he had this word to say. And that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. Ask. What do you want, Solomon? God appears to him at night and goes, Solomon, what is it you want? Name it and claim it. Name it and it's yours. Name it and I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. Wealth, comfort, pleasure, whatever it is, fame, position, power, whatever it is, Solomon, you name it and I'll give it to you. Then it goes on, it says, give me, this is Solomon, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? Solomon asked for wisdom. God, I need wisdom to be the leader you call me to be. God, I need wisdom to lead this nation that you called out of Egypt into this promised land, this Garden of Eden, this land flowing with grapes and honey and all that is there. And Solomon's going, I need about wisdom. He needs wisdom. And so what does God give? I think what's amazing here is look at what God gives him. God answered Solomon, because this was your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you. That one sounds like a pretty good request. And have not asked for a long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people, whom over whom I made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. God says, I'm going to give it to you. You ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. And then he goes on. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings who had ever before you and none after you shall have like. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. He's sitting here saying, you ask for that. Not only are you going to get wisdom, I'm going to give you everything. You are going to have fame. Is Solomon famous? Anybody know what Solomon's famous? He built a temple. Anybody know there's a temple Solomon built? You know, pretty famous temple. You know, they still go to the wall, you know, and pray there now, you know. So he had all the wealth. I mean, you know, he had, I think he had like 1,000 horses, stable. I mean, he had everything. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him everything, not just that wisdom. And I want to tell you, I want to talk about wisdom this morning. That's what I want us to think about this morning. How important is wisdom? How many of us here have ever made a foolish decision? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, I see some hands going up. Yeah. How many of us, you know, you sit there and you figure things out and you make this decision, you think it's the right one, and how important is wisdom? Here's the scripture. I like what it says here. Here's what Solomon has to say about wisdom. For wisdom is more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I didn't know this, so I did a little research this week. How valuable is a ruby? How many here have a diamond on their ring? Any ladies have diamonds on your ring? Any? You know what's more valuable than a diamond? Rubies. Did you know? I didn't know that. I didn't know rubies can be 10 times as valuable as a diamond. You can take the clearest diamond you have, and a ruby can be 10 times more valuable than a diamond. I always thought diamonds were the most valuable thing. But here Solomon is describing wisdom and saying, listen, the thing that you count as the highest value, something that you enjoy, something that you appreciate, something that brings honor, something that brings glory, no matter all that is, the best thing is wisdom. Wisdom. How important is that in our lives? You know, and this is what I want to say. Here's what I'm going to try to communicate with you is this. If I can share with you in the next 6 weeks how you can gain wisdom, is it worth your investment? Is it worth your time if I can share with you how you can grow wiser and make wiser decisions? If I can show you, look at this next scripture here found in Proverbs again. Wisdom is more important, is the most important thing. So get wisdom. If it costs you everything you have, get wisdom. Get understanding. If it costs you everything. And so I put a definition of wisdom there. I want to make sure you understand what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is you can go to school and gain knowledge. You can go through life and gain knowledge. But wisdom is taking it a step further, and it's seeing things from God's point of view. I've never forgot when I was in Boy Scouts, and I had a kid in my little platoon that we had at that time, and he was smart. This kid was smart. And we'd go camping. That's Boy Scouts do. We went camping one time. And I like fixing tacos. Anybody here like tacos? All right. No Italian food. Tacos, right? All right. Get everybody on the same page here. And so tacos on a camping trip is really easy because you make all your meat beforehand. You grate all your cheese. You cut all your lettuce. Everything's all done beforehand. You just go in and warm the meat up, throw some tortillas on. Well, we threw some tortillas on, and we cooked our tortillas, and then I told the kid, go dump that grease. He takes that pan, he picks that pan up, and he pours it into the fire. Anybody got an idea what went on? That fire goes right up that grease onto that pan and cooks that pan. He spent the next 2 hours at the creek washing that. Here's a guy that is smart. He was no dummy. And yet, where was his wisdom? Can a smart person be foolish? Now, can a foolish person be wise? We need to think about this. And what I want to share with you is we're going to dive into this six-week study. And if you're like me, I want to make better decisions every time. I want to learn to make better decisions. I want to be wiser. I'm going to tell you, I think I'm wiser today than I was when I was a teenager. You know, when I was a teenager, I knew everything. Anybody? You know, when I was a teenager, you couldn't tell me anything. I mean, I knew everything. But as I got older, you know, not only did I gain knowledge, but I also began to look at life and understood there's something different about wisdom. There's something different. And you know, I'm going to be honest. Do you ever get too old to learn? Anybody? You ever get too old to learn? Are you ever too young to learn? I've seen some adults or older, mature individuals who are just as foolish as teenagers today. Anybody seen some of those around? And I've had experience with teenagers who have wisdom well beyond their age. So it has nothing to do with whether you're smart or you're not as smart. It has nothing to do with whether you're young or old. How do we find out about this wisdom? Where does it all come from and how does it all work? See, I think we need to wrestle with this. And what's so fun about it, here's this wisest guy that God says, okay, you can have wisdom. And he really is the wise guy. He writes a book, and a book is called Proverbs, almost right in the middle of your Bible. If you were to take your Bible and almost let it fall in the middle, Psalms would be right there. You turn a little bit past Psalms, and you come to a section called Proverbs. And as you read that, you can see, and he wrote many things and many ideas. My little home group on Wednesdays, we just got done doing Proverbs, had a great time in Proverbs. And I've challenged you in this church in the past that, you know, there is how many Proverbs? Anybody got an idea how many chapters? There are 31. All right, I got somebody here that remembers me. 31 chapters in Proverbs. So if you read one chapter a night, you can finish the book on the months that have 31 days. And see, we need to see that, and there's wisdom in there. And he starts it. I want you to see how he starts this out. Listen how he starts Proverbs out to give us an idea about wisdom. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help you understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give you insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and the riddles. Do you see the picture he's painting here? He says, how much wisdom can do for you? Learn from this. Hear these words. See what I have to share with you. Hear what I have to share. I'm going to tell you something. You know, when you are born, I'm going to give you a hint. You are not born wise. You know, wisdom is not something we're born with. We're born with certain skills and knowledges and abilities. As life goes on, we have those. But knowledge isn't something you were born with. You have to learn it. You have to grow with it. You have to experience it. See, and I want to tell you, and as I read that, I want to tell you, wisdom experiences every part of your life. It affects everything you do. Wisdom can affect your finances. Anybody ever make a poor choice financially? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody ever make a poor choice relationship-wise? Yeah. Anybody ever make a poor choice, you know, at school? Yeah. I mean, we see all this stuff, and it's like wisdom affects everything. It affects school. It affects work. It affects our homes. It affects our finances. It affects everything we do. And Paul and Solomon's sitting there saying, listen, gain wisdom. Gain understanding. Look at this next scripture. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 12. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. You want benefit? If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Is that true? So you want the benefits of wisdom. You want to learn more. And look again, it says in Proverbs 14, 12, there is a path before each person that seems right but ends in truth. Have you ever figured everything all out, got it all outlined, and you go, that's the way to go? And as soon as you take that step, it's like, oh man, it's the wrong way. I have an iPhone, and Laura and I are driving across country, and I don't take a map anymore. When you got a phone with all the maps on it, you don't take a map anymore. Hopefully you get the right location, otherwise you're in trouble. Yeah. But we're driving, and we're leaving a town called Lubbock, Texas. Anybody ever been to Lubbock, Texas? Out in the middle of nowhere? All right. So we're driving out of Lubbock, Texas. It's like, well, which way do we go? And so I got my phone, and Laura's watching the phone, and it's like, so we're driving a little further down the road going, okay, we're supposed to turn soon, but we don't know when. So we get a little further down the road, and she looks at it and goes, oh, the purple line turned the road back there. So we got to make a U-turn and go back. Yeah. You know, we think we got it all figured out. You know, I got this figured out. I'll just follow that, you know. See, we wrestle with life. And it seems right. And it seems like it's the right direction. And it seems like the right way to go. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute. It's not. And see, what I'm trying to advocate here is, listen, the right way is God's way. And it's going to come through wisdom. And we're not born with that knowledge. And we don't gain that knowledge. We've got to learn that knowledge. We have to work at that knowledge. And that's what I want to challenge us with. And that's what this 40-day study is. You know, here's my prayer and here's my hope. This is a spiritual growth campaign. And my prayer and my hope in our 42-day study, I'm going to start saying 42 days now, if I can remember to. In this 42-day study, my goal is when we get done, that you'll be wiser. That you'll have a greater knowledge of God and God's will and God's purpose for your life. You'll have a greater understanding of what God is doing in your midst and what maybe God is doing in your family, maybe what God wants to do with your finances, maybe what God wants to do with that broken relationship, maybe what God wants to do in that school experience. See, that's my thing, and if that's going to happen, we have to be willing to learn. We have to want to learn and grow in that knowledge and in those experiences. And so that's what I want to challenge you. But there's benefits, and so here's what I did this morning. I've got 18, 19, I just chose 18 or 19 of them right here, benefits of wisdom in Proverbs. I'm going to name these off. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but I want to share these so you know, hey, if you want to get this in the next 6 weeks, this is what's open to you. These are some options that you have in the next 6 weeks. These are some benefits. And this isn't all of them in Proverbs, because after I put this list together and found this list, I found more. But listen to what it says here. Proverbs chapter 24, 14. I'm going to get you to circle some words here. So get your pens ready. Get everything ready here. You may be sure that wisdom is, circle this, good for the soul. Get wisdom and you have a bright future. Anybody want a bright future? Anybody want a good future, a bright future, something better to look forward to? Get wisdom. Get wisdom. You want something good for your soul, good for your heart. Get wisdom. Look at Proverbs 19:8. Those who get wisdom do themselves a favor. For those who love learning will succeed. You want to succeed? You want to do well? Get wisdom. Look at Proverbs 4:8. Treasure wisdom and it will make you great. You can write in there Gary the Great, okay? Just right above that. Hold on to it and it will bring you honor. Why don't you circle that? Make you great, bring you honor. Anybody here want honor? An honorable life? Look at Proverbs 9:11. Wisdom will multiply your days. Circle that. Add years to your lives. You might want to circle that one. Anybody here ever have time trouble? Anybody? Anybody have enough time in their day to get everything done? Anybody here not have enough time in the day to get everything done? Well, this says if you have wisdom, you can better manage your time. Did you know that? Is that true? A little wisdom makes you manage your time better. I mean, Proverbs know that's 3,000 years ago he knew we were going to have this problem. Now look at it again. Let's go on to Proverbs 24:5. Wise people have great power, and those with knowledge have great strength. You have great power. Wisdom gives you power. Is that true? Look on down in Proverbs 3:35. Wise people will gain honorable reputation. But stupid, I like the way he said this, but stupid people will only add to their own disgrace. Yeah. Anybody here want a nice reputation? Is that important? Wisdom helps them. Wise people, Proverbs 15:24, wise people get better and better. They avoid whatever would cause their death. You ever watch some of these shows where the stupid people do stupid things and get killed, and you're going, duh? Yeah. I sometimes turn on, I think it's, used to be Court TV, now it's, I forget what it's called, but dumb stunts people do. I can't believe some of these things people try. It's like, he sure wasn't wise. Yeah. But wisdom, you know, it gives us better lives, makes things better. Now, this next one has seven, so you might want to get quick to circle here. This Proverbs 3, 16, 3, there's seven benefits of wisdom in this. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I came up here and said, listen, this thing can solve seven problems in your life, just take a drink of this. That sounds like an old snake oil salesman, wouldn't I? Anybody ever watch those old Western movies? Know what a snake oil salesman is? Yeah. If I sit up here and said that, you got, you know, yeah, sure, it's going to solve seven problems, you know. It'd clean everything from, you know, the toilet to the sink, you know, and you wouldn't want to clean the same thing from the toilet to sink. Am I right? Yeah. But here's wisdom. It has seven things. Look at what it says. Wisdom offers you long life as well as wealth, honor. Wisdom can make your life pleasant, will lead you safely through it. Those who become wise are happy, and wisdom will give them life. Do you see the seven things in there? Wisdom has benefits. There's something about wisdom. Listen to what it says. Here's this next one, Proverbs 4:12. Nothing will stand in your way if you walk wisely. Circle that. Nothing stands in your way if you walk wisely. You will not stumble. See, wisdom has its benefits. Wisdom has something that it can offer us. Wisdom brings us something special in our lives. And again, this is my prayer that this 6-week study, these 42 days we spend in God's Word, we're gonna spend some time studying in a little video. We're going to spend some time in our little small groups in discussion. And we're going to memorize 6 verses. And you're going to come to church for 6 weeks in a row. And we're going to hear messages that tie it all together and set the stage for it. And then we're going to go out and we're going to kind of practice what we've been learning. And I'm going to encourage you to get out and do something with what you've learned. And we're going to grow wiser. And that's the goal. That's what we want to see in this. But you know what? It's your choice. You get to choose. You can say, yeah, I want to be a part. Or no, I don't. You can say, yes, I want to grow wiser. And yes, I want to grow in my knowledge of God and more spiritual in my walk with God. I want to be who God wants me to be. I want to find out what God has planned for my life. I want to be where God wants me to be and make those wise decisions. You have that choice. Yeah. Now, if I can twist your arm this morning, guess what? I'm going to twist your arm this morning, all right? Yeah. Because I want that for you. I want you to experience what God has for you. See, this is something for me that is the greatest blessing for me is this. Let me share this. I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. At 17 years old, my cousin shared with me the message of Jesus Christ. You know, and there's this little invisible line out here that says something like this, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. Because that's what a Christian is. And my cousin shared something along that line with me. And I stepped across that line at 17. And at 17, I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be a sharpshooter on a SWAT team. That's what I wanted to do. I literally wanted to shoot people, all right? That was what I wanted to do. But then about 19 years old, God called me to be a pastor. No doubt, no question. I didn't hear, Gary, you're a preacher. I didn't hear that. I just felt a conviction on my heart and an affirmation that this is what I want you to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest blessing in my life that I have no doubt what I'm supposed to do in my life. There is no question in my life. Now, has it always been a pleasant journey? Some of you know the journey I've been on. It has not always been a pleasant journey. I really appreciated the song they sang because it's not been a pleasant journey. There are times in life when hell is life. Anybody? You know? And I've been there. But you know what? To have no doubt, no question in my mind, no question in my heart that I am doing what God called me to do. And you know what? That's what I want everybody to have. See, it's a blessing to know that I am right where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing right what I'm supposed to. That's a blessing. And not everybody has that. And see, that's what this 40-day, what on earth am I here for? You know, why am I here? What's the purpose? I watched a show last night. My grandkids came over after the wedding, and my daughter brought a movie. And it was called The Crowds? Anybody? It's about a bunch of Croods? Croods. I watched The Croods. I'm going to tell you, there's a message in that about this, about our study. There's a message about our, the girl's sitting there, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? And I'm sitting there going, that's what I'm going to be studying. I'm sitting there watching this video going, man, this, you know, this is really what it's about. What's my purpose? They're trying in the Stone Age, trying to figure out what's the purpose of life. Guess what we're trying to do today? Thousands of years later, we're trying to figure out what the purpose of life is. It hasn't changed. Yeah. And that's what our 40-day study is about. What am I here for? And in order to make that decision, wouldn't you want to be wise? Wouldn't you want to make a wiser decision? And so I want to spend these 40 days, and I want to challenge you, you know, to discover this and to find out what God has for you and to be where God wants you to be. But you've got to be willing to learn. You've got to make that choice. It's up to you. Look at what it here says in the scripture. Proverbs 4:5. Learn to be wise, he said, and develop good judgment and common sense. I cannot overemphasize this point. Learn to be wise. You are not born wise. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was a teenager, I was not wise. I did dumb stunts and made dumb decisions. Now, you notice I said I didn't say I was dumb. I made those decisions, all right? But we need to see that, and we need to experience that. It's a choice we make. It's a choice. Do you want to see things God's way, or do you got it all figured out? You got life all under control. Life is smooth as glass. No problems, no issues, no stress, no worry, no frustration. Life is just as smooth as glass. Anybody got a life like that? Life's a challenge. And we can learn to be wise and make those decisions. So here's what I'm going to do this morning real quick. I'm going to run through these things real quick. I took this word learn and made an acrostic, all right? You know how preachers are. We like little acrostics. So I took L-E-A-R-N. Even though I have a challenge spelling, I did spell it right, all right? And so here's an acrostic on learn to be wise, all right? I'm going to learn to be wise. What do you need to do? Five things you can do to make you wise, all right? So here we go. Let's start. Listen to God's word every day. Listen to God's word every day. How many here read the newspaper? Anybody? How many read the internet? How many read a book? How many read a magazine? You know, we read these things. Now let me ask you, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many read their Bible every day? Oh, I see a few hands. Good. Yeah. We need to hear God's word every day. You know, because we read the newspaper. I get on the internet. I go to a certain website and I read the news. I got a thing on my pad that goes feeds. And I go through all these feeds about church and Disneyland, and I read all these feeds and these various blogs, and they give me all these feeds. And I read all this, you know, and I watch TV, and I do all of this. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Anybody? Do you believe everything you read on the internet? Do you believe everything you see on TV? Now, I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe everything that God says in His Word? Then why do we spend time reading what we don't believe and no time reading what we do believe? You ever think about that? Look at what it says here in God's Word. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their nose at such wisdom and learning. Start with God. You want to grow wise, you got to start with God. You got to spend time with God. You got to spend time in God's Word. Look at this next scripture, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You know, when you read the book of Proverbs, some of you have read that book of Proverbs probably several times if you're like me. And isn't it marvelous and wonderful? You read it and you're going, they did the same dumb stuff we did today. And they wrote that 3,000 years ago. And it's like, they were doing, we haven't learned anything for 3,000 years. Duh. It starts with God. If you want to have wisdom, you got to start with God. Yeah. I was watching and I was watching another something else and reading something else, and they were talking about science and all this. To me, it's just hilarious. It's just my personality. Pluto, is it a planet or isn't it? What is Pluto? I don't know what Pluto is anymore. Now, when I went to school, Pluto was a planet. All right, it was one of those planets. You know, now they say it's not. You know, science is so smart, they got it all figured out. It's never going to change. Yeah. I've shared with you that the average middle school science book has 500 errors in it. Some news station did the study on that. 500 errors. Yeah. Whose wisdom do we want to believe? Who really has the understanding? I'm going to tell you who knows what Pluto is. God knows. He put it there. He knows what it is. Yeah. Whose understanding are we going to trust? Look at this. It says, Proverbs 2:6. Is the Lord who gives wisdom? It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. You're not going to get it from TV. You're not going to get it from the internet. You're not going to gain wisdom from reading a magazine or reading a self-help book. It's not going to work. We read all this stuff, we see all this stuff, and yet we don't have time to read God's Word. I want you to watch this video clip. Tell me what you think. You believe the internet? I love that commercial. I watch that commercial. It's like, oh, man. But people are that way. Are you that way? I don't want you to be that way, all right? I don't think anybody here is that way. But I just love that commercial. It's like, yeah, really. But people believe that stuff. Yeah. And what I want to challenge you with is I want to challenge you to believe God's Word and spend time with God's Word and spend time hearing from God and listening to God. I'm going to tell you what it's called. It's called quiet time. Whoa. It's called getting alone with God and listening to God. Now, I can tell you, God speaks. Like I said, I've never heard God say, Gary. I've never heard that. Now, I've heard others have had experiences like that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think God can do anything he wants, okay? If God wanted to walk through those doors today, guess what? He could walk through those doors. It might cause me to have a heart attack, but he could walk through those doors. All right? Yeah. Because he can do anything he wants. But if I want to hear from him, I can just open this book and hear from him anytime I want. Did you know that? Yeah. At breakfast time, I could say, God, I want to hear from you. Thank you, Lord. Lunchtime, dinner time, a hard time, an easy time, anytime. And so we're going to challenge you, and I'm going to challenge you in this 40-day, in 42 days, I'm going to challenge you to spend some time with God. We're going to have books for you to read. Yeah. Some time just to sit down and read a book and read some scripture and pray every day for 42 days. And get you into God's Word and get you hearing from God. And so we're going to challenge you to listen to what God has to say and to hear what God has to say and to spend time with God and to have God's message for you. And I'm going to challenge you with that and let you hear God. Listen to what it says here in the scriptures, Proverbs 15:14. A wise person is hungry for knowledge, while the fool feeds on trash. I was reading something really good this week. I hadn't thought about it because it's talking about feeding on anything. Anybody here eat breakfast? I had a couple of pieces of Pop-Tart. That was good. Thank you, Evie. Where's she at? There she is. I had some Pop-Tarts this morning. You guys can have all the coffee. I'll eat the Pop-Tarts. Yeah. But we eat. Now, what kind of food is Pop-Tarts? Is that sugar? Is that really healthy food? That's called what kind of food? That is called junk food. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody eat junk food besides me? All right. Junk food. All right. I like this passage. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. You know what? If I eat too much junk food, when it comes time for dinner, what am I going to want? Nothing. See, most of us feed on a lot of stuff during the day. We'll read a newspaper, and we'll read a magazine, and we'll read the blogs, and we'll read the internet, and we'll read this. And then we're so full up from reading, we won't read the Bible. Does that make sense? See, we'll feed on all this other stuff, but we won't feed on what's good for us. Because, see, I call it junk food. Now, see, junk food, what's interesting with junk food? It's not good, and it's not bad. It's neither. You know, it's just kind of in the middle. But there's also something else people feed on. It's called poison. All right? Some people feed on poison. Or, you know, what is this? 50 shades of, well, whatever color it is. All right? Whatever. That's poison to me. Pornography. That's poison. It's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. And so, see, and we feed on that poison, and we don't feed on God's word. And so as I read that, I'm sitting there going, what are we feeding on? What are you feeding on? I'm going to tell you. If you think you're going to become wise, if you think you're going to become wise watching the Kardashians, good luck. All right? It ain't going to happen. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. So we're going to spend 42 days trying to grow wiser, feeding on God. We're going to start with God. We're going to listen to God. Does that make sense? See, that's what we want to do. If I want to grow wiser, what am I going to do it? In front of the boob tube? Yeah. In front of the internet? Now, I spend a lot of, you know, I spend a lot of time on the internet. I'm one to say that. I read, but my Bible's on the internet too. You go into the church office there, you open that thing up, and there's the Bible already opened up too. I keep it open there all the time. The Bible's always open on the in the office computer. Yeah. Spend time listening to God. All right, how about the E? Let's look at the E. Enlist friends who challenge me. I'm going to list some friends who challenge me. We don't grow by ourselves. How many here really grow by yourself? With nobody challenging you, nobody encouraging you, nobody motivating you. You need some people around you to help you. You need some people around you who's going to pick you up, and some people to lift you up, some people to encourage you, some people to be with you as you go through this. And so what I want to encourage us and what I want to talk about, if you're going to grow wise, you're going to have to list some people. Here's a scripture that I think most of us know. Do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Does it make a difference who you run around with? Anybody ever tell their kid that? Anybody ever had their parents tell you that and you're going, yeah? I'm going to hang out with who I want to hang out besides me. Yeah. We need to watch that. We need to surround ourselves with some people who are going to help us, some people who are going to support us, some people who are going to encourage us. And we need to surround. If I was to have somebody come up here and I was going to have them stand down there, I'd say, you stand there and I'm going to try as hard as I can to pull you up. And I want you to try as hard as you can to pull me down. Who's going to win? The one pulling me down is going to win, aren't they? Isn't it easier to get pulled down than to pull up? You need to find the friends who are going to pull you up, and sometimes it's going to be hard to find them. So guess what we're going to do? I'm going to get you a small group. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. I'm going to try to help you find a group of people who will encourage you, who will walk with you. You won't be alone, that you can spend some time. Look what the scripture says. Spend time with the wise, and you will become wise, but the friends of fools will suffer. Spend time with the wise. Pull up, pull together, gather with those around you. Have those discussions, have those questions. You know, there's a show on TV, I haven't seen it in years, but it was called Family Feud. Anybody ever watch Family Feud? Isn't there something called collective intelligence? That we are smarter as a group than we are by ourselves? You know, when you were in school and when you were in college and you're going to school, wasn't it better to study with study partners? Where you can share and you can learn together with study partners and they would maybe catch something in the lecture that you didn't catch, or you'd borrow somebody's notes. I'd always get notes from other kids in the classroom just to see what they took. Because there's something about being in this together. Here's what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 18. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. See, God wants to be among them. So here's what I'm going to challenge you. I want to challenge you to enlist some friends to be around you. And here's what I've said, and I've said this already in some of our opportunities here. For a small group, I want you to find one friend. Just find one friend that says, will you come? My church is doing this spiritual growth thing. I'm not sure about it. I don't know what it's all about, but they gave me a DVD and they gave me a couple of workbooks. Would you come and watch this with me? Just find one friend. Anybody here got a friend? I hope. Now, I see some hands going up. Thanks. We need that friendship and we need to build. You know, here's an idea. If you ask that one friend and say, can you bring one? Just get one of your friends to come. Now we got three. Yeah. And we start building those friendships and we start hanging around with one another and we build a group. And I want to guarantee you something, that if you invite somebody, they're not going to beat you up, all right? They're not going to go after you and they're not going to be a part of you and a part of what's going on. Oh, we got a special report going here. Just a quick disclaimer, that never happened. That didn't happen. But we did that video years ago when we did one of our 40-day studies. And I just kind of like to retro sometimes and have some good time remembering some of those things. We have had a lot of fun in the past with our 40-day studies. And so I just want to encourage you, find somebody that you can invite. It's just, we're doing something in our church and, you know, hey, you know, it's about wisdom. And maybe there's somebody struggling. Maybe there's somebody who's made some poor decisions and you're saying, well, you know what, here's some information that can maybe help you next time. And so there's this great opportunity. So I just want to encourage you there to be a part of that and to find some of that. Let's go on down to the next question. It says, ask questions and accept correction. We need to ask questions and accept correction. I don't know everything. Now, I tell my grandkids I know everything, all right? I tell them all the time, I know everything. Ask me whatever you want. And, you know, they kind of laugh at me. But we don't know everything. We need to be willing to ask questions and get correction. Look at what the scripture says. People's thoughts can be like a deep well that someone with understanding can find the wisdom there. See, sometimes you got to dig it out. Sometimes, you know, somebody has some knowledge, but you got to ask. You got to work at it. You know, it's there, but you got to pull it out of them. See, we can learn. I can learn from anybody. I'm going to tell you something. I've learned from little kids. Anybody else learn from a little kid? I've learned from my grandkids. Anybody ever learn from their grandkids? Yeah. I've gained insight from older people. Anybody? I'm glad I'm still young. I still got a long time to learn from some older people. Yeah. We can learn from all these ages, and we need to understand. I can learn. You know what? I've learned from fools. If you've been learning from me, you've been learning from one yourself. Yeah. We can learn from one another. We can learn from anybody. You know what? You can learn from your enemy. Did you know that? You know, you can learn from any, and we need to see it, but sometimes we've got to pull it out of them. You got to reach for it. Look at what it says. Intelligent people, Proverbs 18, 15. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. They're always willing. Now, let me give you a little hint here. We're going to be in our groups, and you're going to have some discussions. You're going to be pulling things out of one another. And we've been asking for people to be a host. Now, I want to tell you, a host is not the teacher, all right? A host isn't the smartest person in the group. Doesn't necessarily have to be. A host isn't really the leader of the group. A host is someone who got the DVR that knows how to push the button, all right? And if it's still flashing, I'll fix it. You show how smart you are. Stop flashing this 12 o'clock. The host is the one who listens the most. So I'm going to tell you, if you don't like talking and you want to be in a small group, be the host, all right? That's what you want to be because you don't have to do all the talking. You just, here's the question, and let everybody else talk. See, we want to discuss these things because we get different insights. You know, I got news for you. You might not know this, but I am not always right. You know, there are a very infrequently few times I make mistakes, all right? Some of you are laughing at me because you've been around me when I've made those infrequent mistakes. You know? But we can learn from one another and we can have those discussions. Look at what it says in Proverbs 19, 27. If you stop learning, you will forget what you already know. So I want to challenge you to get in that small group and get in those discussions and have those questions and the meanings and what's going on in life. I get so frustrated. I had the privilege of going to college, all right? And it's a privilege. And I went through college, and I sat in classrooms, and we had discussions, and we had opportunities. And then my wife went and took classes on the internet. She finished and got her, but we took classes on the internet. I was just at a loss because, yeah, you have those discussions, but you're typing them, and there's just something missing. I believe there's something about a classroom experience. Now, I'm not putting all internet schools down. Don't take me that way. But I think there's something about being in a group where you can look across at one another and you can have conversations and you can have questions and not have to type it and wait for an answer and do those things. See, that's what a small group's all. You have those discussions. You got to ask questions and you got to accept correction. And that's a challenge. How about R for learn, L, listen, E, enlist, A, ask, R, remember and reinforce what I learned. Here's a scripture. Proverbs 22, 17. Listen, I will teach you what the wise have said. Study their teaching, and you will be glad if you remember them and quote them. I like those four verbs, listen, study, remember, quote. I'm going to talk about that word remember right here. Because you know what? In our 40-day study, you're going to have to memorize six scriptures. Can you believe that? You know what? They have proven. Here's something I didn't know. As I was writing and preparing the message, that if you don't start, if you quit memorizing things, you start losing your mind. Literally, you start losing your capacity to remember if you stop memorizing things. You know, a few months ago, I've had some personal challenges, and so I've been trying to memorize things. So I've memorized the Ten Commandments in order. Don't ask me to say it from here, but I have memorized them in order. You know, I've memorized the apostles' name. There's 12 of them. One of them didn't quite make it to the end, but I memorized all 12 of those guys. And I've memorized 44 presidents' names in order. And did you know 4 of the presidents were assassinated? We had 4. I knew 2. I didn't know there was 4. That we had 4 presidents assassinated. I can name all 44 presidents. Just if you didn't know that, there's 44 of them. Yeah. And my goal lately has been memorizing the capitals, because my grandkids, what makes me do this is my grandkids would come home from school and ask me questions. Do you know all the state capitals? Well, I'm Gary the Great. I know everything. And so guess what I sit down and do? I sit down and memorize the state capitals. So when my grandkids come over and say, what's the state capital? You know, Trenton, New Jersey, St. Paul, Minnesota, Madison, Wisconsin, whatever you want to know. Even those hard ones, you know, up there in Vermont, you know, Montpelier, you know, or New Hampshire, you know, you got Concord. You know, I memorize all that. We need to memorize God's word. You need to put it in your heart, in your mind. And I want to challenge you to do that. You're going to just 6 verses in 6 weeks. That's all. 6 verses in 6 weeks. Now, you need to know this. I have memorized literally probably at least 100 scriptures in my life. Now, if you ask me to quote 100, all 100 of them, guess what? Gary the Great would fail. I could not stand here and quote 100 scriptures. But here's what I do know. Has there been situation and circumstances in my life when all of a sudden I needed a scripture that I memorized a long time ago? And guess what? Out of the clear blue sky, amazingly, it just popped into my mind. How do you think that happened? Because I had put it in there a long time ago. Now, I might not be able to quote it to you today, but you know what? Here's what I know and here's what I believe, that all of a sudden when I need that one, it's going to be there. Anybody had that experience besides me? You know, you memorized it, you put it in there, and you really kind of forgot it. But then all of a sudden that situation is there, and all of a sudden, boom, hey, I want to challenge you to memorize God. Just six, we're going to give you a bookmarker. So when you read your book, you had the bookmarker that with 6 verses on them. And so you can just try and wrestle with memorizing God's word and spending time. Now, I just can't memorize anything. You know, I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not going to buy that. Anybody here watch football? Anybody? Anybody here watch football? Boy, no, we don't have any football fans here. Oh, I got one hand. Thank you. I got one hand. I got one football fan here. Anybody a 49er fan? Oh, now I got more hands going up. Yeah. Anybody know the name of the 49er quarterback? Anybody? Anybody know his name? All right, I got a hand up here. All right, see, I got somebody. I got another one. All right. You can memorize a quarterback's name, but you can't memorize God's word. Anybody got a home? Anybody live in a home? Anybody got a home? Anybody? I didn't know we have so many homeless in our church. Boy, we got to start a homeless ministry. We're you know, Ron, Dan, you guys, we got to get homeless ministry going. We got all these homeless people. Anybody got a home? Anybody know their address? Anybody know their address? Anybody got a phone? Anybody know a phone number? You know, you can memorize. You remember what's important to you. So are you telling me the Bible's not that important? Ooh, that was kind of a hard one to take. Just 6 verses in 6 weeks and learn God. You think that'll make you wiser? Do you see what he's saying here? You think that'll make you wiser? Just a little more understanding. Look at what it says here. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Never let them get away from you. Remember them and keep them in your heart. They will give you life and health to anyone who understands them. Does that make sense? God's word is going to help you through life. It's going to bless you through life. It's going to guide you through life. God's word is powerful. But you got to memorize God's word. So I'm going to challenge you to memorize God's word. Now let's get to our last point real quick. Now do it. All right? Do it. I'm going to ask you to do it. I'm going to ask you to join 42 days spiritual campaign. I'm going to ask you to commit to being in a small group. I'm going to ask you to commit to memorize God's word. I'm going to ask you to commit to be in church for 6 weeks in a row, and I know that might be hard for some of you. I'm going to ask you to make that commitment that I'm going to be a part. I want to grow. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can be different after these 6 weeks if you choose. Look at what God's word says. This is James writing. Do not deceive yourself by just listening to the word. Instead, put it into practice. If you listen to the word but do not put it into practice, you are like people who look in a mirror and see themselves as they are. They take a good look at themselves and then go away and once forget what they look like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, that put it into practice, you will be blessed by God in what you do. I want to bless life, and I want to bless life for you. But the choice is yours. You got to make a choice to do this or to not do this. It's going to be a challenge, and it's not going to be easy. Six scriptures in 6 weeks, that can be tough. It can be a challenge. But it's up to you. Will you do it? You know, I stood up here this morning, and I've shared this with you. And if you're going to walk out and say, that was a good message, preacher did a good job today, you know, thank you, then I've just wasted your time. It's just been a waste. I just wasted my breath. But I want to challenge you. So here's what I'm going to do this morning. The ushers are going to bring by a piece of paper and give you a paper because I'm going to ask you to make a commitment this morning. I want you today to think about it, to think what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks. And so the ushers are going to give you a piece of paper. And as they're passing it out, I just want you to think, am I willing to do this? Or has this just been a good time to be in church on Sunday? Yeah, it's exciting. Yes, it's fun. But, you know, it's not for me. It's not where I'm at. It's not what I'm doing. And so I want to challenge you. So as you look at that paper, it's going to say this. I want to learn how to use my life for the purpose I was created to fulfill. So for the next 6 weeks, I will learn. And then we tuck those three letters. Listen, enlist, ask, remember, and now do it. And I'm going to ask you to do it. So as you're looking at that, here's the question. L, I will learn God's word. So here's, you got two things to check. I will read a chapter a day from the New Version, purpose-driven, what on earth am I here for? We have the books out there, and we'll give those out next week to you. The leaders get them today. Others get them next week. Or I will listen to a daily devotional from the CD. I've got some CDs. They're MP3 files. So if you want to put them on an iPod or an iPad or anything, we're going to have some CDs so you can listen to the book. All right? So check one of those. It's up to you. E, I will enlist a friend. Then I'll get that friend to find one more friend to form a 6-week small group. Pick one. Or are you already in a group? But here's what I'm going to tell you. I'll give you permission to kind of divide your group, to multiply. Maybe you need to take a break from your group and go start another group for a little while. Just 6 weeks, that's all. I'm not asking you to say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Just give me 6 weeks. That's all I'm asking for right now. Just 6 weeks. A, I will attend the next 6 weekends and hear all 6 messages of Purpose Driven, What on Earth Am I Here For? You got to come and hear me 6 weeks in a row. I'm sorry, but that's the best I can offer you. R, I will reinforce what I learned by memorizing the key Bible verses. And N, now do it. I will practice what I learn at home, at school, or at work. So I'm going to challenge you. So I want you, if you're willing to do this, I want you to sign this and date this, and I want you to pray about this all week. Because that's what that yellow piece of paper is in your bulletin for. Because I want you to pray about it all week. So I want you to sign this, and I want you to pray. Because next week we're going to come, and we're going to start. And I'm going to ask you and I'm going to challenge you to be who God wants you to be. To be able to sit down and stand up and to walk and to live a wise life. I'm going to give you permission to be a wise guy or a wise gal, I guess. Yeah. Because I want to be who God wants me to be, and I want you to be that. I want you to experience that. I want you to experience the joy of being that child of God. I want to learn what God wants me to be. So I'm going to challenge you. So I'm going to ask you to fill it out. This is yours. I'm not going to collect these. I thought about collecting them. But, you know, if I get it, you don't get to see it again. I want you looking at this. So you put it in your Bible or you put it in the book that you're going to get next week. And I want you to keep this to remind you that, yeah, you made a commitment because I'm going to hold you to your commitment, all right? Because I want you to end better. I want you to be a better person in 6 weeks. I want you to be a different person in 6 weeks. I want to be a better person. You need to know that. I want to be different. I don't want to be the same. You know, every week I want to change. I want to challenge you to be who God called you to be all that God wants you to be, and to bless your life. And it starts with wisdom. What's your choice? It's your choice. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you hear our words and you know our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for all these that are here this morning. Lord, that we'll accept this challenge. It's not a challenge from from me as a pastor. Lord, it's a challenge from you. You've called us to read your word. You've called us to memorize your word. You called us to visit and to be part of a small group and together with others, to be groups of two and three so that you can be with us. You've called us not only to hear, but to practice what we've learned. Lord, this is what you've challenged us. This is not my challenge. This is not what I want. This is what you want for us, because you want to bless our lives. You want the benefits of wisdom to flow forth, Lord. And I just ask you to guide and touch these hearts. You know, as I'm praying here, all heads bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you need some special prayer for wisdom right now. Maybe you're wrestling with a decision. Maybe your time schedule or something. I see a hand. If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, there are some lifting their hands up and they're asking for wisdom right now, Lord. Lord, life is a challenge. It's not always easy. But you know not only what we've went through, what we're going through, but you know the future and what's going to be. So give us wisdom, Lord. Give these who've lifted up their arms the knowledge and the wisdom to make the decision to do the right thing, to be where you've called them to be. It might not be the easy thing. As a matter of fact, that might be the hard thing. But Lord, we want to do your thing. So I ask you to encourage them and strengthen them and show them the benefits of walking in your path, the path of righteousness. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.